Good morning, everyone. Why don't you stand with us as we go to the Lord in worship? I've had this song on my heart all week. Sometimes it's just time to stand on the rooftop and declare that I belong to Jesus, and everything else, it really doesn't matter.
Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours.
Amen, amen, amen. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Come on, let's just lift up our hands this morning and let's just dedicate this service unto Him. Lord, we come to You this morning asking that You would be in this place. Lord, we've come here in anticipation that you would answer prayers today. We've come into this place today anticipating that you're going to speak to our hearts. We've come into this place today anticipating that we're going to hear from you. And so we come this morning with open hearts and open minds and open ears as willing vessels ready to be filled by you, filled by your wisdom and your presence, your peace and your joy and your love. Lord, we ask right now that what we do here brings honor and glory to you. Lord, we thank you for your everlasting love. Lord, we thank you that you love us even when it's hard to love ourselves. And yet, God, you remain faithful through everything. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you would just continue to pour out your presence today. Lord, upon to those who are in this place, those who are watching via the internet, Lord, we ask right now that you would just touch our hearts today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. You can be seated for just a few moments. I want to say thank you for those of you who asked about our Kelly and I's trip. We had a wonderful 20th anniversary trip to Disney World. And our favorite thing to do was watch all the people who brought their kids and enjoy that we didn't. And so, so relaxing. Learned a few things while I'm there. First of all the cool kids, by the way, wear fanny packs, so don't listen to Jeremy. All right. Otherwise, where was I going to put my little snacks and all my stuff I needed? Which leads to the second point, which is I don't care how much money you bring to Disney, it's not enough. And so I went over to buy a snack the first time, and I was like, no, I don't want the whole shack. I just want one snack for me. And so that's the price for one. And I said, I need to own a Disney park. Another thing we learned is we're not as young as we used to be. We started to equate how much we wanted to do something by how far it was. And I thought, you know what? Maybe we'll get over there. Maybe we won't. But we had a wonderful time, and thanks for those of you that asked and checked out our pictures. I didn't put a lot of pictures. I tried to hide my in-laws. I tried to change my numbers, but they found my new number. And so, no, I'm teasing. Well, it's good to be a house of the Lord this morning. How many of you have had a wonderful week? Come on, the Lord's been better to you than you deserve. And I want to share with you a few announcements this morning. Before I do that, though, just want to say if you're visiting today, thanks for coming to hang out with us. There's a visitor card in the seat back in front of you. If you'll fill that out and place that in the offering bag that we'll pass in a few moments, that will give us a record of your attendance and help us to know that you came to hang out with us today. And we want to say welcome. We're so glad you're here. Today, Pastor's going to be preaching a Thanksgiving message, and tonight, Pastor Chad, you don't want to miss Pastor Chad, will be preaching and sharing with us this evening. Connect groups kicked back off this last week without Kelly and I. We're not here, but we'll have another one this next Sunday, and we'd love for you to be a part of a Connect group. And then we're all getting together on December 13th. There'll be some more details about that coming soon, and so we want you to be a part of all of that. We'll also have a Christmas decoration night on November 29th. That's the last Sunday night of this month, and would love for you to be a part of that. Help us to get the church ready for Christmas. How many of you just Thanksgiving snuck up on you? I mean, is it not? That is crazy. It's crazy. Who's bought a turkey already? Come on. Anybody bought a turkey? Who of you hadn't even looked for a turkey yet? All right, there we go. Yes, that's all of us. Who of you hung out with a turkey all week? Go ahead, babe. That's okay. Thank you. Next Sunday, Mark and Susie Perkey, evangelists, will be here sharing with us. And you're not going to want to miss that. That's going to be an awesome time together. And so we want you to be here for that. And then last but not least, I want to tell you about the Christmas outreach, what we call Christmas in the Hood. It's coming up really quickly, Saturday, December 12th. And there's a lot of opportunities to be involved in our Christmas outreach. Here's a few of them. First of all, you can sign up to be a part of the outreach that day. We serve food. It's going to be a little different this year. This year, that we're not going to be serving food where they sit down and they can eat. We're kind of keeping the congregating to a minimum. And so instead, we'll be kind of preparing the food in a to-go kind of a way. And so we'll need lots of people helping us to prepare the hot dogs and the nachos and all that and putting them in to-go containers so that the people can still have some food in that way. And so we'll also have needing some help in different areas such as registration, security. Those of you that are on our safety team can help in that area. And there'll be some other opportunities to volunteer. And so if you want to be a part of that, you can just sign up on the sign-up table out there, and that way I'll know that you're interested in doing that. And we'll have more specifics as far as what time we're going to meet and all that as we get closer. Also, you can help by making a shoebox, all right? And we do shoeboxes for kids who otherwise may not get a Christmas. And the age groups break down 0 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 11, and 12 to 15, boys and girls. And so you can sign up out there and say, hey, I'm going to make a shoebox for a boy 4 to 6 years old. And if you need, there's a sheet out there that looks just like this. It kind of gives you some ideas of what you can put in there. If you're still stumped, you can come talk to me, and I will be more than happy to help you figure out exactly what is a good idea of things to put in there. But we usually shoot for a goal of making 100 shoeboxes, 100, and they really this year some of the churches aren't going to be able to participate, and so they're really counting on us to come through. And so we have a really good start on that. But if you'd like to be a part of that, you can sign up to do that also. And then if you say, you know what, I don't know how to put a shoebox together, that's not my thing, or maybe you're not able to go down and volunteer that day, you can still give financially in the offerings in the weeks to come towards helping us to pay for the expenses of the outreach. And if you do that, will you just write on the envelope CITH? That's Christmas in the Hood. Kith, all right, CITH, and we'll know that that's what that's for, okay? And so everybody that has gone to help always loves it, and it kind of becomes a tradition. We'd love for you to be a part of the tradition. And maybe you can't stand. You say, hey, I can't stand for a long time, or maybe you have other limitations. Don't let that keep you from being a part of this outreach. Come talk to me, and I will find a place that will suit your needs and your abilities so that you can be a part of this outreach to those who otherwise may not have a Christmas. And so I think it'll be well worth your time to come and be a part of it with us. At this time, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we give of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. As I said, we had a wonderful time at Disney, and but I am excited about being back and excited about us worshiping together today. And so I want to pray over the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you today that you're meeting us in this place. And we thank you, Lord, that you take all that's given. Lord, you multiply it and you further the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray for our outreach in the inner city of Oklahoma City. We pray you would multiply our efforts, that people would come to see the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that they would understand that you love them deeper than anybody else. Lord, we pray that they would come in a relationship with you through our efforts. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just stand with us to worship once the offering plate has passed by.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what a Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. Chain, oh God, you have done.
About the great things that God has done. So you have Daniel in the lion's den. He took care of him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You had the Israelites that came up to the Red Sea and God parted the waters. So God does great things. And I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to the great things that God is going to do in the days and the weeks and the months to come. Because in Isaiah 40:31, it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. So I trust, I have faith that God will take care of us no matter what. We just need to do what we are called to do, and that is just to follow Him and to do what He asks us to do.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. Oh, He won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will.
Thank you, Jesus.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails. He will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late, He's working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh, yes, I will sing to you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will, and I choose to pray. Praise.
We just stand here as your church crying out that we love you and we adore you and we stand in awe of you, of the things that you've done in the past and the things that you're going to do in the future. And Lord, that we believe that your word, that when your word is spoken, that it is true and that it will go forth across this nation and it will start a fire in our hearts. And we just love you, Father, Lord. We can't express it enough how much we love and adore you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never. Worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me
Let's worship that name this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. We worship you, Lord, this morning. We lift our hands in praise. We lift our hearts to you, Lord, today. And we thank you for your blessing. Lord, 10,000 reasons and many more that we can say thank you for all you have done. Lord, this morning we just pray for several people, Lord. We pray for Steve Broadbooks today, Lord, who has the virus, and we just pray for him right now. He's on ICU in the hospital. I pray that you would just touch Brother Steve, Lord, today. Heal him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, for Mark Fitzgerald, we pray for him, our missionary friend. Lord, we just ask you touch him today. For Dennis and Mary Barreras, who pastor in Tucson, Arizona, who have the virus this morning, we pray for them that you would just lift them up and touch them. And Lord, many others that are in need of your touch today. So many people, Lord, that we could go on and name names. We pray for them all today. You know who they are, what they need. And so, Lord, as a congregation today, we pray for a healing touch and ministry upon every single person. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for the election that truth and righteousness will prevail. We just pray, Father God, that your will be done in this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. What a delight to be in the house of the Lord today. So glad that you are here. And if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to read one verse, verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The title of the message this morning is Thanksgiving in the Key of F. Thanksgiving in the Key of F. There, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, one verse, says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Lord, we give you praise today and thank you for your blessing in our lives. We thank you for each and every one here in the sanctuary this morning and across the way and in children's ministry. We pray that you would bless Pastor Chad and the other team of workers who are ministering to our children. We pray for those watching through the live stream today that you would bless them and that you would minister to their need. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before getting into the heart of the message this morning, I was reminded of a humorous illustration that I have shared a couple of times in the past, but it's been a while. It's the story of the prodigal son in the Key of F. And so just, I don't know if you've ever heard, how many of you have ever heard the story of the prodigal son in the Key of F? Well, where were you a few years ago when I shared this? So. It's just funny. And when I thought about the name of the message this morning, Thanksgiving in the Key of F, I remembered this. And so I got online because I couldn't find where I had it in some notes from the past. But we got it offline this morning. So here is the story of the prodigal son, all in the Key of F. Feeling footloose and frisky, a feather-brained fellow forced his fond father to fork over the family finances. He flew far to foreign fields and frittered his fortune, feasting fabulously with faithless friends. Fleeced by his fellows in folly and finally facing famine, he found himself a feed flinger in a filthy farmyard. Feeling frail and fairly famished, he fain would have filled his frame with the foraged foods of the fodder fragments left by the filthy farmyard creatures. Phooey, he figured, my father's flunkies fare far finer. The frazzled fugitive fumed feverishly, frankly facing the facts. Frustrated by failure and filled with foreboding, he forthwith fled the foreign farmyard back to his family. From far away, the father focused on the fretful, familiar form on the horizon and flew to him and fondly flung his forearms around his fatigued fugitive. Falling at his father's feet, he floundered forlornly. Father, I have flunked and fruitlessly forfeited family favor. But the faithful father, forestalling further flinching, frantically flagged a field hand. Fetch forth the finest fatling and fix a feast. Faithfully, the father's firstborn was in a fertile field fixing fences while father and fugitives were feeling festive. The foreman felt fantastic as he flashed the fortunate news of a family face that had forsaken fatal foolishness. But this fault-finding firstborn frowned on the favor shown the fugitive and such fickle forgiveness from the father. His fury flashed. He never faltered. He'd never fled the family farm. He was forever faithful. But fussing was futile. The far-sighted father confirmed such filial fidelity is fine, and the firstborn would be furnished with the remaining family fortune. But what forbids fervent festivity? The fugitive is found. Unfurl the flags with fanfares flaring. Let fun and frolic freely flow. Former failure is forgotten. Folly is forsaken. And forgiveness forms the foundation for future fortitude. There you have it, the key of F on the prodigal son. Well, don't worry, this whole sermon today is not going to start with the letters of F because I am not that smart. However, I do want us to think about a few things that we can be so very thankful for during this Thanksgiving season. And yes, they all start with the letter G. No, F. First and foremost, faith. Faith. Are you thankful for faith in God? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. The forgiveness that he provides. The freedom that he provides. All of the wonderful blessings, the greatest gift of all, and it lasts forever. Amen? Faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Because we've all sinned. Raise your hand if you've sinned. All right, I said that's everybody here. We've all sinned. We all need a Savior to forgive us, to go to heaven when we die. And all can be saved if they confess Christ as their Savior and they repent of their sins. Isn't that wonderful news? Have you accepted Christ? You watching by the internet today, have you accepted Christ? Are you forgiven and on the road less traveled? I hope you are today. Not only does faith in Christ bring freedom and forgiveness and eternal life in heaven, it also gives us supernatural power and joy and peace here on earth, regardless of what's happening around us. Can you say amen to that? And I think of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of the power of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's an extra blessing on top of salvation, all because of Jesus Christ. And that is why it's called the good news. I'm glad I heard about the good news, aren't you? Paul's words of thanksgiving and prayer for his fellow Christians sum up the blessing of a life of faith in Philippians chapter 1 in verses 1 through 11. Let me just read these verses to you and you can just sense the peace and the joy and the change that has come in Paul's life. Remember, Paul wasn't always so kind to Christians, was he? There was a time when he was known as Saul, and he went around persecuting Christians. His life was miserable. He was putting to death and putting in prison and persecuting the people of God. But then something happened in his life. The Lord got a hold of his heart. I like that old Dallas Holmes song, Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Well, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 says, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand that what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Now that is a life that's been changed. That is a person that is thankful for the grace and for the love and for the mercy of God. I trust that you have experienced that just as the Apostle Paul have. So first of all, I'm thankful for my faith. That's of greater worth than gold, the Bible says. I'm thankful for faith. I'm thankful for Jesus today. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Amen. Are you thankful to be here in the house of the Lord this morning, worshiping the Lord, singing his praise? I just couldn't wait to get to church this morning. I've just had such a peace and a joy in my heart. The Lord, I just can't wait to get to church and see everybody today and worship the Lord. It's such a wonderful, wonderful blessing to be able to join with the family of God in God's house and worship together and pray together and sing together. And it's just a great, great blessing. So faith would be my number one thing that I'm thankful for. And I trust it's your number one thing. Secondly, family. Family. Right under faith comes family. Are you thankful for your family today? Amen. Family is one of God's great blessings. He ordered that from the very beginning in the garden. He set up the family. He brought together a man named Adam and a woman named Eve, and he told them to start a family. And that is God's design, one man and one woman for the rest of their lives. And God called it good. There's a lot of people in our culture today that are questioning and trying to undermine what God has called good, saying there's other ways to do it, and there's other things that should be accepted. But you know what? Before long, there was murder when Cain murdered his brother Abel. And so for the last 6,000 years, Satan has continued to try to undermine God's plan to destroy the family. Yet God's word still stands. God's word stands. The strongest nations, the strongest communities, the strongest churches are the churches that have strong families and the country that has strong families. Because God's way is always right. Amen? I love my biological family. I thank God for my wife and my kids and my grandkids. I also am thankful for my church family. I love each one of you. You know, we have a biological family. We have a spiritual family, a church family. And it's wonderful to be a part of a family. I've always believed in calling our church, rather than a congregation, a family, because that's what we are. Amen. We cry with one another. We pray with one another. We rejoice with one another. And sometimes we might disagree with one another, but guess what? We're still family. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're in my family. Amen. And if you would have told me that being a papaw was as good as it is, I would have started there first. I tell you what, I love it. I wouldn't trade my family, biological family, or church family for the world. Thank you to the Lord for blessing us with not only faith, but blessing us with family. Amen. We need to be there for one another. Somebody in our congregation may be going through a tough time. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. But as the family of God, we need to be there to lift them up and pray for them and encourage them. Pray with them. Cry with them. It's so good to have family because we all go through things where we need family around us, be it our physical, biological family and in our church family. Are you thankful for the family of God? Amen. Thirdly, freedom. Another wonderful blessing that we've enjoyed as a nation since 1776 and that you've enjoyed as a Christian since you were born again. Hallelujah. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Tragically, there are those who want to destroy our freedom and take us down the wrong road. You know, I don't know why people would want to do that. I don't know why people want to tear down the very blessing and freedoms that have made this country great. I don't get it. I don't understand the absolute hate and absolute just rage that I see in certain groups in and around our nation and on the news and doing the things they do. I don't get it. I only know this. There has to be a sinister spirit behind it, and there is. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 talk about that and tells us that there is that type of a spirit that we wrestle with. Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's the reason, because Satan has a plan to bring down the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. So, church, we must pray that God will move across our land. Amen? Otherwise, the freedoms we have and hold dear will be gone. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still true. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will turn and forgive their sin and heal their land. Thank God for freedom. I'm thankful for freedom today. I'm thankful that I wasn't born in a communist country somewhere. I'm thankful that I was born in America. Like I heard one person, this is America, Doc. This is America. They leave off the A and just say America. I'm thankful that this is America. Amen. Fourthly, I'm thankful for friends. I love the Christian movie, or the Christmas movie. This time of year, I try to watch it called It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody else like that movie? Ah, that's my favorite. You know, you can have White Christmas and, you know, all the other, but that, my very favorite, because the very last thing that is displayed in the movie as the little book is opened on the page, it says, no man is a failure who has what? Friends. No man is a failure who has friends. And that is so true, so very, very true. We need one another. I'm thankful for Christian friends. And I'm thankful for all friends, but I'm especially thankful for the household of God. I'm thankful for the faith that Christian friends and peers have that can pray for me and help me and that I can pray for them. There are many verses in the Bible about friendship. Let me give you four of them. Proverbs 27:17. I'm not turning to them. I'm going to count on Kate. Hey, give a hand to those that work in a sound booth back there. Amen. And give a hand to those up top putting this thing on the internet. Now Caleb owes me $5. No. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Amen. We sharpen one another. We are better together. We are better because we know one another. I hope you're a better person because of me, and I know I'm a better person because of you. Amen. Another verse says, Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Amen. And there's another one, Proverbs 17:17, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. And then John 15:12-13 says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. I'm so thankful today for the gift of friends. Amen. Turn to your neighbors. I'm glad you're my friend. Amen. We need friends. And I'm thankful that the Lord has provided a way for us to have good friendships. I'm thankful for each one of you and so many others who have impacted my life through the years at various places and times. You know, the Lord sometimes bring a person into your life for a certain season, and then they may move off. I've had friends that maybe I don't talk to, but maybe once a year, or maybe I haven't seen them in 3 or 4 years from years past. But you know what? They were a blessing in my life at a certain point, and now I still count them as friends. I just don't see them all the time. The Lord brings people in and out of our lives on purpose for our good. And I'm thankful to God for friends. The fifth thing I'm thankful for this morning that we should be thankful for is function. Function. Also known as my life's work and purpose. What was I put on this earth for? What is my function? What is my role that I am to fulfill in the time that the Lord puts me here on this earth? The Lord puts each one of us here on this planet with a plan and on purpose. There's nobody here today nor watching over the internet that's an accident. I don't care what your mom and daddy says. Oh, you were an accident. You came along late. We weren't expecting you. No, you were not an accident. God never creates someone by accident. You're here on purpose. And God has a plan for your life. The greatest and number one plan is that you come to know Him in salvation, that you get saved. That's first and foremost, and filled with the Spirit of God. And then secondly, you try to find that place and fulfill that role that God has for you. And there's really two things the Lord's put us on this planet for. Number one, to bring Him glory. That's the number one thing the Lord wants us to do, is to bring Him glory. Our life reflect the glory of God. Our life to point to Christ, to point to the cross, to point to the Lord. And secondly, to build His kingdom, fulfilling our part to play. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it. We're all a part of the body of Christ. Everybody has their function and has their place. And one of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. God has things planned for you long, long, even before you were born. God knew before I was born in July of 1961 that I would be standing here in 2020 on, what's today's today? November 15th. God knew that. God knew what you would be doing and where you would be serving and living and who you'd be married to. God knew these things long before you were born because He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows it all. And I love that scripture, and you see it on plaques all the time now, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. The Lord has plans for us. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a coach, a carpenter, a doctor, a truck driver, whether you work at Walmart or you're a stay-at-home mom, God has a function for you. And we need to thank Him for that. We need to be thankful for what the Lord allows us to do and the talents and abilities He's put in our hand to be able to do what He's called us to do. He wants us to find our place and fulfill our part. I know that I was called to do what I do. I wasn't sure at first. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I thought, you've got to be kidding. I don't get up in front of people very easily. I get nervous and scared. I shake. I can't do this. Lord, you've got to be kidding. This has got to go to somebody else. But you know what? The Lord never makes a mistake. And where He guides, He provides. And over the years has provided to help me to do what He's called me to do. And that's the same for all of us. God, if He tells you to do something, you can do it because He's going to give you the strength and the grace to do it. And I love what I do. I love being a pastor. I wouldn't want to do anything else. Now, there's times I get frustrated, as my wife and staff in the office would say, when I think, you know, I just get frustrated. I just want to go to Walmart and pack boxes on the shelf, you know. I just want to go drive a truck and forget the world. Now, I have said that. I would be lying if I have not uttered those words. Isn't that right, Gloria? Isn't that right, Carol and Phil? I have said that. I get frustrated. But you know what? I get frustrated if I worked at Hardee's or McDonald's, or if I was a doctor. Whatever you do, you're going to get frustrated at times. But overall, I would say, Lord, I'm thankful for what you've allowed me to do the last 40 years nearly. And I hope he lets me do it for a long time. I can look back and see his handprints. You know, it's hard at the moment sometimes to see God's handprints on your life. It's really as you look backward, as you have enough time go by in your life, that you can look back and you can see, man, I can see God's handprint on my life at that time. I didn't really know he was there then. There was a lot going on. I didn't really know what was happening, but I can look back and I can see where God was guiding and directing. I can see his handprints. Aren't you thankful for the handprints of God? He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I trust you can look back and see his handprints on your life as well. Because he loves us all the same. God has no favorites. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He didn't love Billy Graham any more than he loved Hitler. Okay? The Lord loves every single person. It's up to us to respond to that love and to give our heart to him. But he has no favorites. He has no teacher's pets. Were any of you here today when you were in school, you were the teacher's pet? Nobody? Wow. Oh, I see some hands going up slowly. My wife always says you were the teacher's pet, because I'd tell her, you were a teacher's pet. You know, what can I say? You know. But that's not the way it is with the Lord. He has no favorites. He's no respecter of persons. What we just want to hear him say one day is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Good job. How many of you want to hear and see God give you thumbs up when you get to the gate? All right, good job. Amen. I'm thankful for the function that the Lord puts in our lives. And we need Christian teachers, and we need Christian dentists and doctors and truck drivers and carpenters and accountants and nurses and doctors. We need those people in those fields. There needs to be light in all those areas. Some people come to me sometimes, would you just pray that I find a job where all I work around is Christians? You know, I don't like being around all the garbage at my work, and would you just pray that I'll get a Christian job? Can I be honest with you? I'm not going to pray very hard. I understand what you mean. I understand. It can be frustrating and hard. But you know what? There's darkness there. And you need to carry the light into that place. If you leave, then it's even darker. So don't come and tell me you just want to work in a Christian business with Christian bathrooms and a Christian desk, and you want to have a Christian lunch with your Christian whatever in your Christian way every day. Why don't you go into the darkness? Amen. I actually loved it when I was in college because I wasn't working at a church. And I've told you this before, I worked at a bank. I also worked at a little giant pump company in Oklahoma City. I loved being around all those non-Christians so that I could try to bring a little bit of Jesus to them. So I could bring a little bit of light. And I hope I did some. So let's just bloom where we're planted and shine where the Lord puts us. Amen. Number six. Now, some of you is going to like this one. How many of you are thankful for food? Yeah. Woo! Yeah, y'all just now woke up, some of you. Somebody mentioned food? I'm thankful for food. You know, God is honored when we praise him and thank him every time we sit down to eat. I can't do it. If I sit down at a table to eat, even if I'm with people that I don't know or people that maybe didn't start praying, if I don't feel comfortable to say, well, let us all pray, I'll just pray myself. I cannot take a bite of food and not pray for it. You know, you're going to go eat with me, we're going to pray. You know, and I think that's a great habit every Christian family should have. You need to teach your kids that you don't take a bite of food until you say, thank you, Jesus. And besides, what a great witness in a restaurant. Now, you don't need to stand up on your chair and command everybody's attention, let every head be bowed, as we thank God for our Wendy's burger. No, you don't do that. But you can stay there and there at your table and you can pray. And people can be witnessed to by that. I've had people come up to me before and say, hey, I noticed you prayed for your food. That was wonderful. I was at Sam's Southern Eatery the other day, and there was a family in there eating. And I was just kind of watching, and I looked over there, and the mom and dad and a couple of kids, and they bowed their heads, and he prayed rather loud. I mean, really, it wasn't like loud, but it wasn't a whisper. He said, dear Lord, I just thank you for this food. You know what I did? After I got done eating, I walked over to the table and said, hey, I noticed you prayed before your food. That really inspired me. We need more families like that. He goes, well, thank you very much. You know, I just kind of lifted him up a little bit, made him feel good that he took the time to pray out loud, not real loud, but, you know, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. How many of you know we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel? We have nothing to be ashamed about. We need to pray and believe God for his will to be done in all of our lives, whether it's at the store, whether it's at the restaurant, whether it's on the job, wherever. God, I just thank you for allowing me to have this piece of Mazzio's pizza. Amen. I'm thankful for food, especially Mexican. Oh, you know, that's what they're going to have at the marriage supper, I've been told. We're having enchiladas, burritos, and tacos at the marriage supper. That's what we're having. If you don't believe that, then you can go to the Italian table if they have one. Now, I am thankful for physical food, but you know what? I'm more thankful for spiritual food. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is just as nourishing and more lasting than any bite of food you put in your stomach. It's what you put in your spirit through this Bible. Amen. We need to read the Bible as often and as regularly as we feed our bodies. Amen. Amen. So very, very true. Number 7. And this was kind of an awkward one. Fun. I'm thankful for fun. You like to have fun? Raise your hand if you like to have fun. Yeah. Everybody likes to have some kind of fun. I mean, my dad used to say, all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy. You ever heard that statement? We need to have fun sometimes. I think my dad would say that because sometimes on Friday night, I would be in my room, in my bedroom, playing my guitar, singing sheet music that I collected and bought. And I had a little microphone in there, and I had a little music stand, and I would set up my microphone, and I would set up my guitar, and I'd go through my just contemporary songbook, Dallas Home and Imperials, and I would just play and sing. Sometimes my dad would come to the door. He's probably watching this, but whatever, Dad, love you. He'd knock on the door. Hey, Steve, what you doing? Oh, I'm just playing and singing. He says, don't you have a date tonight or anything? It's Friday night. I go, you know, my brother, he's already been on 3 dates by now, and it's only 8 o'clock, you know. And he's probably going to watch this too. He was the real ladies' man, you know. Don't you have a date or something? I go, no, I don't. I'm just playing and singing. And I think one of those times he said, well, don't you know, son, that all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy? I think he was worried that I was not going to be normal. You know what? I just love doing that. And then occasionally, just to put your mind, I did have a date occasionally on Friday night. So, you know, I don't even know why I told you all that. But having fun isn't wild parties and drinking and drugs, because that can lead to pain and problems and possibly the police. That's not the kind of fun you need to have. The devil likes to say, oh, you're missing out. Yeah, missing out on possibly going to jail, missing on that morning hangover and I barf my guts out. Yeah, I'm missing out on all that. You're not missing out. Don't let the devil sell you a bill of goods that serving Jesus is somehow boring and all the sinners have all the fun. Not true. Not true. Fun is hanging out and doing things with good, clean intentions and enjoying the goodness of God in it all. I'm thankful for trips. I'm thankful for vacations, for missions trips. We had fun a few years ago going to Arizona and building a church, did we not? Some of you that were here went. That was great. I love going to car shows. I love going to concerts. I love going to football games. That's another good F right there. I should have threw that one in. I love watching football and seeing football games. I love going Christmas caroling since we're getting close to that time of year. I like building a snowman, playing with my grandkids, going on the Talamina Drive that way in southeast Oklahoma, going fishing, going on cruises in my Mustang, going to the zoo and doing all kinds of fun things. There's nothing wrong with having some fun. We need that. I just getting up yesterday morning. I wasn't quite done with my sermon. Got up. Carol made sausage balls. I love sausage balls. She made sausage balls. I got me a cup of coffee. Got me about three or four sausage balls, or five or six. Went to my office. Finished working on my sermon. She's in there cleaning, doing this. I thought, and it's beautiful weather, you know, just fall. I just love the fall. Oh, I'm thankful for the fall. There's another good F word right there. I'm thankful for fall. I thought, this is so cool. It's nothing special, nothing like we're going to, you know, it wasn't a Disney World type thing, but it was just wonderful and pleasant and joyous. And I thought, you know, this is life. I get to preach tomorrow. I get to stand up behind the pulpit and do what God has called me to do. God, you are so good. And you get to do what you are put on this earth to do. God wants us to have some fun and some enjoyment along the way. Speaking of Talamina Drive, Brother Thad, was it good the other day? Thad and Lisa, I was jealous. They went on the Talamina Drive in a convertible Mustang. I happen to know that Mustang. I thought, oh man, that would be great. God has given us a beautiful, beautiful world to enjoy. But nothing even comes close to what's coming, and that's my last point, forever. We have a future forever to enjoy, the future. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Thank God for the future. Nothing in this life compares to the future. How many of you are thankful for heaven today? Amen. Whatever troubles we face here will be so insignificant when we get there. And we face troubles at times. We face situations with our family or on our job or with our health or with our finances, or with some kind of relationship. But you know what? One day soon, they're all going to be gone. All going to be gone. We'll have peace and joy and love and happiness forever and ever and ever more. I believe Jesus is coming soon. I believe we're seeing the signs of the times all around. We need to be ready. We must be busy letting the world know that there is a better life to live and a better eternity to be had than what we have right here. Peter says it well in this last scripture I want to read to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. As believers, we have a wonderful, wonderful future to look forward to. Amen. We may have trials here. We may have things we've gone through for many years. I want to tell you, one day they will come to pass. They will be no more because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Because you have trusted your life to his plans. And it will be joy forevermore. Musicians, would you come? In conclusion, that's Thanksgiving in the key of F. And there's probably other things we could say. I just dwelt on those 7 or 8 this morning. Faith, first of all. Just as a review here, as they're coming, Thanksgiving in the key of F. Number one, I'm thankful for faith. Salvation, I'm thankful for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for family, both physical family and spiritual family. I'm thankful for freedom. Freedom from sin and the freedom we enjoy in our country. I'm thankful for friends. Friends that the Bible says can stick closer than what? A brother. I'm thankful for function. Fulfilling your call. Where you work and where you serve. Thankful for food, physical food and spiritual food from God's word. I'm thankful for fun, enjoying God's way of fun. It's real fun. And finally, thankful for the future. And friends, our future is out of this world, literally. It's out of this world. We have so much, so very, very much to be thankful for. I trust today that the number one thing you're thankful for is your salvation. You can come to church and not be a Christian. You can be here today and not really be saved. Because coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. It's calling upon the Lord Jesus. And believing and repenting, that's what makes you a Christian. So while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, Father, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for all those wonderful things that we've talked about today that we are thankful for. Most of all, Lord, we're thankful for faith in Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood on the cross that we might be saved, that we might be forgiven, that our name would be put in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we would spend eternity in heaven as the gift that you have given. We thank you for that. That is the greatest gift of all. And Lord, there may be somebody here today whose heart is not right. They have not received that gift. Or there may be somebody watching over the live stream, over the internet, that their heart's not right. Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak to each one of them right now and say, you need to get your heart right with God. Musicians are going to come and they're going to sing a final song. And as they sing, if you need prayer this morning, you need prayer for salvation, you need prayer for anything, healing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you need help with prayer for anything, you want special prayer, Pastor Phil, myself, and any other of our leaders that want to come down and help us pray, we will be down here. But I'm going to turn it to them and let them sing. And I just pray that if you need something this morning, you come forward. Or if you just want to come down and pray, you may not need prayer from any specific person, but you want to come and kneel before the Lord at these altars, then this is that time.
And you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your
Miracles so great, there is no one.
God. Stand and sing that one more time. You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
Yes, he does. Give him glory. Hallelujah. And the honor.
Oh, Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I lift your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Just believe for those miracles in your life, in your family, in your church, in your community. Say, God, do it again. Do it again in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask Pastor Phil if he'll come and dismiss us in prayer. Hallelujah.
Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much, Lord, for this Thanksgiving season and for all that we have to be thankful for. Lord, most of all today, it hit me so hard to think about the future that you have promised us. That this time on earth is just fleeting. It's just quick. It's just going to be like that compared to all of eternity and forever. That you will live together with us as your children. And so we lift our hands and our lives up to you. And we submit our hearts to you today. And we say, Lord, use us here on earth that we may honor you in heaven. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. See you tonight. Pastor Chad will be giving us a challenging message. Until then, at 6 o'clock, have a wonderful afternoon.